Welcome to the Naples Community Church Podcast with Pastor Kurt Anderson. Thank you for joining us today. We hope you find this sermon inspires you, builds your faith, and gives you perspective to see God moving in your life. We trust God has great things in store for you. Enjoy today's message.
And Father, we ask that you would now open your word and our wills to you. We might be changed according to your intent for our lives. You've called us and you transform us. Oh Lord, may we be willing. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're looking this morning at the text of the Lord's Prayer, "Lead us not into temptation." Now that, believe it or not, is a huge topic. And it's one of those that, I was at LA Fitness yesterday, I was on the crunch machine, and there were these guys right in front of me on one of those machines, and one guy was standing here looking this way, and another guy was standing here looking this way. They weren't working out, they were just looking. And in this large glassed-in room were a bunch of women dancing. Well, some things never change. And it's part of life. It's part of living in this world. And as the Lord said in his high priestly prayer, "I came not to take you out of the world, but to give you strength in and through the world." And so that's why we are given this prayer. The Lord knows of all the many things that beset us. And so I want to share with you from the Apostle Paul, who draws up the experience of the people of God when they left Egypt and they're in the desert. And they're in the desert after God has led them through, divided the waters of the Red Sea, provide manna and quail and water out of rocks, and they're griping. They're complaining. I mean, it was just like church back then, too. And the Apostle Paul calls them to account for the choices they made, and he's using that as an example to the church in Corinth, that they might, as a tiny minority in the Corinthian community, that they might live according to the high calling to which they've been called. Hear the word of God as it comes to us from 1 Corinthians. "I want you to know, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized into Moses in a cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same natural food, supernatural food, and all drank the same supernatural drink. For they drank from the supernatural rock which followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things are warning for us not to desire evil as they did. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to dance. We must not indulge in immorality, as some of them did. And 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put the Lord to the test, as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents. Nor grumble, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as a warning, but they were written down for our instruction, upon whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he can stand take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your strength, but will with the temptation also provide a way to escape, that you may be able to endure it. Therefore, my beloved, shun the worship of idols. I speak as to sensible men. Judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not participation in the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? May God add his understanding to this hearing of his word. We're supposed to resist temptation. Now that may be radical in our time. That may be an odd thing to say. Maybe something that we just don't hear that often. But it used to be the kind of thing that was said all the time. So John Locke, a young man before he leaves the shelter of his father's household should be fortified with resolution to secure his virtues, lest he be led into some ruinous course or fatal precipice and yield to every temptation. That's a few hundred years ago. That was part of life. And John Adams picked it up after the forming of our nation, and he said, "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other." So we are to be a people that resist temptation and have virtue as a goal. And whatever that means, and it means a lot of things to different people, but we live in a time in which it just seems that we are being nurtured, openly, actively nurtured, into those things that constitute what we have known historically for 4,000 years as sin. It's so disturbing. I was online this week, and I saw this display in a church. I don't know which church it was, up north, and it was a display of guys who were dressed like women dancing down the aisle, and the leadership was telling them to clap for them. And then they were up front leading, and they looked silly. I mean, when I was in my church in Ventura during the Halloween costume thing, my son had a couple of little foamy basketballs, so I thought, I have an idea. And so I dressed as what I called bovine bump body. And I swear, I looked better than those guys did. But this is being foisted upon us as a culture. And it's disturbing. Our children are being nurtured. I mean, what little kid has any curiosity about sexual things? Really? Remember when my son was little, he was in the kitchen. There was one of his cars on the floor. He picked it up and threw it. Hit the kitchen cupboard. I said, "Brian, what are you doing?" He said, "But Dad, it was a great throw." I mean, that's kids. They're concerned about just being kids. And do we rob them of their innocence, of their childhood, for the sake of a particular kind of agenda that is heavily trafficked in our time? How is this nurturing them to, as John Locke says, to secure virtues, lest they be led in some ruinous course? It's a very hard and difficult time. It's a time in which it just seems that more than anything, we have the promotion of vice. And it's heartbreaking. And I not only worry for our children, I worry for all of us. Because there's plenty of precedent for this. It happened in the desert as the people of God were making their way. It's happened in so many instances in which people, because of the nature of the culture, were lured away and simply followed the way of the culture. I had a weird dream this week in which I saw in my dream a large man pulling by a leash a tiny little dog. We see it all the time. But in my dream, that was the culture dragging along the church, and the church following in tow. And where does this come from? This breakdown of some of the most fundamental morals of the life of the church. We know what those are. It hasn't changed. We know what is right and what is wrong. But we allow the culture to speak to us and to have its voice and have its effect. The next thing you know, we're simply going along. And in this case, it is as sheep to the slaughter. And God's people are to be about living right, living well. Now, this isn't just about those kinds of issues. There are all kinds of issues that beset us in our lives. You know, when Jesus spoke to the disciples, he said, "It's harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God than for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle." So there are all kinds of things that could draw us away. And conversely, when he met the woman caught in the very act of adultery, he was tender and loving to her, knowing that she needed redemption. And yet, both were wrong. Both were separated from God. There are good things that separate us from God, and there are negative things, bad things that separate us from God. And Jesus, who was tempted in all ways, even as we are, never sinned. But he knows that hard push of temptation. He knows how powerful it is. You know, I know that values are caught, not taught. And every now and then, however, a word goes from a parent to a child that somehow sticks. And I remember when I was about 13 years old, when the sap was running, I remember sitting in my Spanish class, and the only thing I can remember of my Spanish class was right across the aisle, Julie Nelson was sitting, and she always wore a mini dress. And the only thing I remember from my Spanish class was her beautiful legs. And I remember Dad telling me sometime before that about how powerful that kind of temptation was. He said, it's the hardest thing. It's the hardest thing to avoid, the hardest thing to fight. Now, for the most part, I never listened to Dad, every now and then something breaks through. And of course, it was true. And it was the reality of what we face when we experience temptation. And in the Lord's Prayer, we're given this instruction: lead us not into temptation. Lead us not into temptation. Lead us out of and from that which would draw us away from your Father. Because we know its power, we know its destructive capability. And somehow we have to stand and promote and actively live out values that reflect the reality that we belong to God. And it's hard, and we know it's difficult. And none of us is perfect. We all sin, we all fall short. And yet, it's better to know that it's sin than to not know it at all. You know, there's an old phrase, it's a phrase of the road to perdition. And that phrase represents the reality of temptation and choices that are made along the way, because it's one simple step at a time, one step after another. And if we get away with it this time, we get away with it the next time, and then the next time, and it gets worse and worse and worse. I see the redemptive work at St. Matthew's House as people come out of that life, and they are so full of joy. They're hugging each other, and they're clapping, and they're so glad that they have left that behind, but they knew they were on that road. And it was the Lord that saved them, the Lord that pulled them through. And so it is for us. The simplest thing can draw us apart, draw us away, pull us off that simple road of discipleship. So when I was in college at UC Santa Barbara, I was in a small group with a professor that was teaching religious studies. And it wasn't religious studies as you might think at a secular university. He was very, very intent upon teaching us both the Old and New Testaments. And there were just a half dozen of us. And it was a great class, and I was challenged by it. It was all preparation for seminary, even though I didn't know I was going there. I was just interested in it. And Dr. Schneidau decided to have us all over for dinner. And I'd never been to a professor's house. You know, it was a great opportunity. And I was looking forward to it, and I'd heard that his wife was a wonderful cook and all of that stuff. And it was at 6 o'clock, and about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I was just killing time, driving around Santa Barbara, and Der Wiener Schnitzel had a sale. 5 hot dogs for $1. I saw it, and I thought, 5 hot dogs for $1. This is awesome. And I went through the drive-thru, got my $5. I'm cheap, so I asked for a big thing of water and ate all 5 hot dogs while driving around Santa Barbara. Then I went to the dinner. Alaskan king crab. Oh. I had ruined my appetite. I had ruined the magnificent feast that was prepared. That's what sin is. The people in the desert ruined for themselves entrance into the promised land. We can ruin what God has in store for us, the magnificent gift that God has for us, if we decide to take things into ourselves. So I have a choice: hot dogs or Alaskan king crab. I chose wrongly. You know, it is all so fragile. G.K. Chesterton talks about how glass can survive for centuries unless someone breaks it. Then it shatters. All we have to do to allow it to survive for centuries is to not break it. It don't do it. Let it be. We inherit so many magnificent values and institutions from those who've gone before us. You see it every time you see a young family going down the street with kids and dogs and all of that, and how beautiful it is. All of which is an inheritance that's been given to us. And all we have to do is not break it. Just not break it, and it will persist. It will continue on. And so when we pray that prayer, it's just that we not break stuff. That we honor what God has given to us and enter into the joy of being His children. Will you join me in prayer? And so, Father, we ask that you would give us the strength to withstand temptation, that you would show us that escape hatch so that we might not break what you have given. It was just the bite of an apple that brought all this down. But we keep biting it. We keep going back to it. So, dear Lord, may we do what we can to preserve what you've given to us. We ask it in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, there are a few things you can do. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. For more information, you can visit us online at www.naplescommunitychurch.org. If you happen to be visiting Naples, please drop in for our Sunday service at 10 a.m. We'd love to meet you. Thanks again for joining us. Have a fabulous day.